Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and this is Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Here are some of the questions we'll be discussing today. It's Wednesday, February 27th, 2013. What is the tyranny liberty cycle of government? Where are we on that cycle? Do you know? We'll make sure you stay tuned and we'll find out. To QE3 or not to QE3? Is that the question? And is the U.S. economy still headed for trouble? Well, you wouldn't know it today with the stock market being up almost 200 points. You know, as I said, mentioned Al, I wish they just hit their peak of 2007 and get it over with. And today, gold, yes, it was up 20 before, now it's down 17, but that's okay. We're still above, we're 1598 on the day, down $17. Silver down 44 at 2909. We have platinum down $21 at 1603. Palladium is up at $749. U.S. dollar index today, that was weaker today, down 0.29 and 81.56. And you also have crude oil, just trading basically unchanged, 92.84. And the markets today, closes at five-year high. Woohoo! Adding 176 points. The Nasdaq gained 1%, and the S&P climbed 1.3%, but the Dow 14075, Nasdaq 3162, S&P 1515. The 10-year yield, where are we on that? 1.90%, so that's up a little bit. I saw it dip into the eights. Well, I think I saw it 1.87 today. And the euro, 1.31 on the euro. Give us a call, folks, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Give us a call. We got some great pricing, great shipping. And, of course, if you have any questions for the program today, this is a separate 800 number. Give us a call at 1-800-596-8191. It's questions for the program, not your gold and silver orders. Questions for the program, 800-596-8191. And if you'd like to send us a question, you can do that, too. If you're listening by the computer and you want to jot us out a note, Questions at DGScoins.com. That is questions at DGScoins.com. And, hi Al.
Hey Melody.
How are you today?
Well, I'm busy. I'm looking for my party hat and the party horn to celebrate that the Dow Jones is up to 14,075. And I've been digging through the boxes and whatever I can't find. I can't find any of the party hats or any of the party horns, but still, I'm ready to celebrate. And I would really want to celebrate if they're back to, what did you say, five-year high?
Five-year high.
Woo-hoo. Mm-hmm. Well, after you figure for inflation, that means they're only down about 12, 15% compared to what they were back 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So break out the party hats, break out the party horns.
Well, I wanted to bring this to your attention. I think the anti-gunners are bringing out everything possible.
I know.
Did you hear about the dog shoots a Florida man with a 9mm handgun?
No, I did not hear about that. Is this some sort of a joke right now, Melody? Are you trying to
fool me
here? Fun and old Al? What is it?
Dog shoots a Florida man in the leg with a 9mm handgun.
Now, that
is a visual.
But I want to know, first tell me, was the dog licensed for concealed carry?
But nope, he was driving along, and now, you know what, they really should throw this guy. I mean, the guy was driving with his dog, and he had a pistol that was on his truck's floor, and the guy thought it was unloaded. Now, right there, I mean, folks, you know, always check. I guess the dog kicked the gun and the gun discharged, firing a single round into his leg. He wasn't seriously injured, but and they didn't file any type of attempted murder charges on the pooch. And so they have ruled the shooting accidental.
Hmm? It reminds me of that old, you know, the cliche, I'm not sure if that's the proper term, but from journalism. You know, it's not news if a dog bites a man. It is news if a man bites a dog. And it's also news if a dog shoots a man. That's news also, you know. You're looking for the oddities, the unusual, and this qualifies. The dog has shot a man. I don't know. What does that teach us? Does it teach us not to have guns and dogs? You got to choose one or the other. If you're going to have a dog, you can't have a gun. If you're going to have a gun, you can't have a dog.
Are they going to confiscate dogs?
Maybe so. It may be, especially these dogs that shoot.
Maybe.
Yeah. That must be especially terrifying for people in the White House, the Congress, and the Senate, and so on. My God, even the dogs may try to shoot us before this is done. I don't know.
But I just thought that was interesting. But more
I agree.
Folks, be more safe with your weapons. My heavens.
People are actually pretty safe. I mean, they're very safe, really. When you count the number of weapons, the number of people that own arms, guns, and so on in this country.
Yes.
People are astonishingly safe, really. It's very seldom that, relatively seldom that people are shot by accident or even by intent. If I recall correctly, FBI said there were about 8,000 people shot last year. Huh? That isn't a big number in a country where you've got 300 million people and probably, I don't know, at least that many firearms. And average person, how many people are armed in this country? 60, 80 million, somewhere in there?
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty rare. And in fact, on top of everything else, you are more likely to be stabbed and die from a knife than you are from a gun. Knives are America's favorite weapon when it comes to murdering each other. And one other point, I was listening, I even published a copy of a video from a doctor on my blog just in the last week or so, where the doctor, medical doctor, is explaining about gunshot wounds. And he points out that only about one person in seven who is shot actually dies.
Yes.
Right? About six out of seven times, if you happen to be shot, you're probably going to survive.
Mm-hmm.
At least if you're talking about handguns, which is the preferred weapon for the vast majority of people, and you know, who at least prefer, they use handguns rather than rifles. Rifles, shotguns, far more lethal than handguns. But a handgun, you got a 6 chance out of 7 that you're going to survive if you're shot. They're nowhere near as lethal as a lot of people imagine. We see it on TV, bang, bang, you're dead. No, not necessarily. If you want to make, in fact, I guess if you actually want to get somebody, you got to go bang, 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 bang. Then on the 7th shot, you finally get them.
In my self-defense class that I took, we saw videos, you know, where police officers trying to take somebody down, and mm-hmm. I mean, they shoot them, you don't know how many times, and that adrenaline is going so strong, and nothing is keeping them down, and so it is interesting. But also in that class, we were taught that too, you're more likely to survive a gunshot wound than you are a knife.
Yeah. So. Pretty amazing, isn't it? I mean, mm-hmm. completely contrary to what people are being taught. People are being taught to fear the gun and ignore the knife. I think the reason, of course, the great advantage to a firearm as composed to a knife is a knife, you can only use it within 3-4 feet of where you're standing. Firearm, you can reach out and touch somebody 100 yards away without significant problem. And I think that's the thing that gets the government's attention.
Mm-hmm.
They are concerned that they can control security right up next to them, but they can't necessarily control for the guy on the roof, and that's what they're concerned about. And I think then that's the point. You know, I've talked about this on the program before, but purpose of firearms. People don't understand this. You can read the preamble to the Bill of Rights. Very few people are aware there is such a document or whatever, but it says the purpose of the Bill of Rights is to prevent misconstruction and abuse of the powers of the Constitution. And the only people who can misconstrue or abuse the powers of the Constitution are the people that work for the federal government, as elected officers, officials, bureaucrats, federal judges, and so on. They're the only ones that have powers under the Constitution. Bill of Rights is intended, all 10 of the Bill of Rights, including the Second Amendment, their primary purpose is to protect the people of the states of the Union against misconstruction or abuse of the powers of the Constitution by the federal government. Bill of Rights is not intended to protect us against an invasion from England. It was not intended to protect us against the Indians. It was intended to protect us against the federal government. That includes the Second Amendment. You know, you can draw your own conclusions, but that was the founding fathers' purpose for proposing and ultimately adopting the first 10 amendments to the Constitution. Protect the people of the states against the federal government. The federal government understands this, the people don't. The average person says, oh my gosh, that's shocking. That implies that the purpose for the Second Amendment was to shoot government. Well, yeah, that's what the founders intended. And people are shocked by this. But the government knows it. And they're afraid that you folks are going to recognize it, and that's why they would like very much to see you disarmed. So what do you think, Melody? Is that a little too radical?
No, I certainly don't encourage anyone to...
No, and neither do I.
You know.
Neither do I, but I'm just saying, you read the preamble to the Bill of Rights, you read it closely, you realize what it means, and that's what I've just pointed out. That is... And you can find this for yourself, folks. You can go up on the internet, type in preamble to Bill of Rights. You'll get it. You'll see it. It's there. You'll see it. You can find it on government websites. It's there. And it's just a question, do you read it? And then you see what it meant. That was the purpose. So what else we got today, Melody?
Do you want to hold this the tyranny liberty cycle for after the break? And
we could start with it now.
All right.
It's not necessarily all that long. It's just really a graphic. I've seen cycles like this in the past where they go from point A to point B to point C to point D back to point A, and there is a cycle where it functions like a clock. I've seen cycles that deal with liberty and tyranny and freedom and so on, and they include a return to faith in God. as a prerequisite. Before you get back to liberty, you have to believe, you have to find a religious, a spiritual reformation before you get back to liberty. We have an image that you, of course, can't see on the radio program, but it just says the cycle starts out. It's a circle. And the first point on the cycle is liberty. First, a country achieves liberty. Then it moves into complacency. Then it moves on to dependence. Then it moves to tyranny. Then it moves to revolution. And then it goes back to liberty. And this cycle, according to some sources, has been observed for centuries, and it usually takes about 200 years. In our particular case, we are something like 237 years since the Declaration of Independence, and we have only had one revolution that's obvious, at least apparent to the people so far. So it appears that we've gone, and we're looking at this in a circle. Imagine a clock, and 7 o'clock on the circle would be back about the borderline between dependence and tyranny. And that's where most people would say, that's where we probably are right now. We have become a dependent people, and we are well on our way to entering into an era of tyranny in this country. And the tyranny, of course, as it goes on, finally people get fed up with it, and then we'll see a revolution, if the cycle is true. And then we'll see liberty, and we will restore freedom and liberty in this country, and then we'll go to complacency, which is we're going to be fat, dumb, and happy, and then we're going to go to dependence, where we've become so complacent that we can no longer support ourselves, and we have today something like 40% of the American people, at least 40% of the gross domestic product, depends on government. We have become dependent on government. We are unable to significant degree to support ourselves, which will lead us to tyranny, to revolution, to liberty, complacency, and so the cycle goes on and on and on. Well, the question is, where are we on the cycle right now? And we're certainly not at liberty. We are not really in complacency. We are at the best you could say we're in dependence right now. And everything I see in the government indicates we are moving from dependence into tyranny. And then after we have tyranny for a while, finally we have revolution, takes us back to liberty, and so on, and the cycle starts again. But there's an argument to be made that the tyranny really began perhaps as early as 1933 when they removed the gold out of circulation. They gave us the New Deal, changed the form of government significantly. Others would argue that it started in 1971 with the loss of silver and the loss of gold on the international basis, and the dollar became a pure fiat currency. Question is, when did the tyranny begin? Is it recent, or has it been going on for some time? And the reason that's important is, are we just beginning to get into the tyranny? Are we beginning to get to the end of the tyranny? And if so, then a revolution beckons. I am inclined to believe that we are just at the onset. I think we're at the beginning of tyranny in this country, overt tyranny. How long that's going to last, hard to say, assuming the cycle is valid. But the next step after that would be revolution, and then back to liberty, and so on. So it's curious. If any of you have an opinion, let us know. Where do you think we are right now? Are we moving from liberty to complacency to dependence to tyranny? Are we between the dependence and the onset of tyranny? Or are we already deeper into tyranny and headed toward revolution? If any of you want to answer that question, either by email or by giving us a call, you could give us a call if you wanted to, if I can find the phone number here, and I can't. Oh, yeah, I can. 800-596-8191. You can give us a toll-free number. What's your opinion? Are we closer to the beginning of tyranny or to the end of tyranny? And if you want to send a response to questions@dgscoins.com, you can do that too. And I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned. Thank you.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. And Melody, now, if she's done with her running her calculator, I think she's got a special for you folks. Melody, is that true?
We certainly do. This is such a popular special. I'm going to continue with the AU $5 Liberty. It's almost a quarter ounce gold coin, pre-1933. 90% silver, quarters or dimes, $25 face value, which it comes out to about close to 18 ounces of silver. And this package includes all of your shipping and insurance costs, and that's $1,100. So it's a great little bartering coin for gold and AU $5 Liberty. They perform very well. There's really not a lot of them out there. And, of course, you're 90% silver. It's very cost-effective to purchase. It's probably one of the lower end of the scale for premiums on 90% on silver, even though the premium is higher than usual because it is a little difficult to obtain nowadays, and it's still spendable. So it's a great way to buy your 90% silver, and they can give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. The package will come to you by registered and insured U.S. mail. So give us a call, folks. It's a great little package. Everyone likes it. And one of the AU $5 Liberties is actually, of all the small coins for fractional pieces, that one is my favorite. So Carla's standing by, and I'll be available right after the program.
We were talking before the program, before we took the break, we're talking about this cycle. Now, I've seen other cycles, as I pointed out. They include a return to faith in God before you go to back to liberty. I've seen, you can devise these cycles, and it doesn't mean that any one of them is precisely true. But they're useful to kind of crystallize your thought, where you can begin to see how a nation changes as it goes from liberty to complacency to dependence to tyranny to revolution to liberty to complacency, and the cycle continues to function. And it reflects something about human nature and social interaction, and who knows what all is there. But it doesn't mean that this cycle is precisely true or correct. It's just useful to make us understand, or to help us to understand, that there are predictable waves and attitudes that predominate in a society over a period of time. Now, Frank, the producer, he wrote back and he said he thinks the tyranny started with the Constitutional Convention. I was speculating, are we at the beginning of tyranny in this country, or are we more closer to the beginning of revolution in this country? I think we're closer to the beginning of tyranny. Mm-hmm. That's where I think. But the argument could be made it started in 1933, started in 1971. Frank, the producer, responds he thinks the tyranny started with the Constitutional Convention when they amended the Articles of Confederation and changed our form of government into what it has become. I would look at it, if you wanted to look back, I would look to see the onset of tyranny. I might point to the 14th Amendment. All right, which made dramatic changes in this country. And we've got a caller, Joe from Arkansas, and we'll see what Joe thinks. Hello, Joe, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah.
Okay, well, what's your take on this? Business. Yeah, what's your take on tyranny? When did it start? Go ahead.
Well, I think the really heavy tyranny started around 1987, late 80s, and got, you know, started really getting bad in the 1990s. I think we're now definitely under very heavy tyranny, and it's getting worse. But I think there's one big difference between this cycle of tyranny now and all the previous cycles of tyranny that have taken place in history, and that's that I think the tyrants now figure that the people aren't going to be able to break the cycle of tyranny this time. I think they figure now what they're trying to do is have the people's minds so scrambled and confused with television, and have the people's health, you know, so impaired with junk food and with drugs and with vaccines that they're so weak and so sick that they lose their natural instinctive desire for freedom, and that they won't be able to break the cycle of tyranny this time. Now, all the previous tyrannies, the lives of the people were still normal and natural enough, and their health was still normal and good enough, that they still wanted to be free and still had a good, strong, you know, instinctive desire for freedom, so they were able to break the cycle of tyranny. I think what they're trying now is to make the people so sick and so weak and so confused with television that they won't even want to break the cycle of tyranny.
It may be. I can understand your argument, but I think some of your argument is based on the idea that people are not merely sick and weak, but that they are dependent, in the sense that they're dependent on drugs or junk food or God knows what else you can point to and say they are in that state of dependence. And the cycle we're talking about, liberty, complacency, dependence, then tyranny, then revolution, then back to liberty. The question becomes, if people are dependent, will government be able to hold this together if they can't provide the fix that the people need on a regular basis? This is the flaw, maybe, in your thinking on this or your position on this. The question is, will we see tyranny? Probably so. Certainly looks like we're headed in that direction. But will the government be able to continue to supply everything it needs to supply to keep everyone dependent? What happens when they run out of fluoride? What happens when they run out of welfare? And this is the problem. When the tyrants can't produce enough goodies to keep the dependents stoned, is that what triggers the revolution? Is that what really triggers it? Do we fight for freedom, or do we fight for more drugs? What are we going to fight for, Joe? Do you have any idea?
Oh, I think there'll be all kinds of people fighting for all kinds of different things. You know,
you're right.
I don't think there's going to be a mass movement one way or the other, where everybody goes one way or the other. But I think another element to enter into the plans is apparently they have plans to mass exterminate quite a few millions of people by various methods. That's another thing into it. And another thing into it is Will they be able to keep the economy together? You know, will they run out of credit? Will they run out of money to keep the whole dependency thing going too?
Yeah, I mean, none of this stuff, none of it lasts forever. I don't care how it works. They may think they're going to start a thousand-year Reich. If you catch my drift, that's what Hitler was anticipating. He was going to create a government there that would last a thousand years in Germany, and he lasted, I don't know, 25 years or something altogether. 20, 25 years, I'm not sure how long you can attribute to him. A lot of people have big plans for tyranny. I don't see how they can expect them to work for long, though. I think it's a dangerous, it's riding the tiger. You know, you mentioned the possibility, some people believe that they intend to exterminate millions. Okay, well, who's going to walk the dog? Who are they going to exterminate? How are they going to hold the nation together if they exterminate as many as some people suppose? The whole thing breaks down. They need people, the people who would be tyrants are exactly the people who want a bunch of maids and butlers running around their homes to take care of every need. I don't know how you're going to exterminate all those people and still hang on to your maids and your butlers. Sooner or later, the tyrants are going to have to start changing the spark plugs in their own automobiles. And that takes all the fun out of being a tyrant. So, you know, again, these are these cycles and the diagram I was trying to describe on the program. They're useful to help us think about things, but they aren't prophecy. You know, just because we have a diagram doesn't mean it's absolutely true. It's just, it's a thinking. It's something that helps you think about it. Good
well,
enough?
Well, as far as the maids and butlers argument goes, it could be that, you know, another element that's into the whole thing now that wasn't there before is technology, and they could be figuring on having robots. You know, they're
yeah,
you know,
I get that, but somebody's still got
to
run. Somebody has still has
maids and butlers with robots.
Yeah, but somebody's still got to maintain the generators on the dams that are producing the electricity that keep the robots running. There's still a point for people who work in menial. You can't get away from it. The tyrants can't get away from it. I don't see they're going to have a problem killing enough people where they can hold this thing together and still hold this thing together, assuming that's their goal. A lot of people think it is. You know, we'll watch and see. But in any case, Joe, I want to thank you for your call. We've got some more questions we want to address. So thank you, and talk to you another time. Melody, you got some more questions for me?
I mean, we've already had population control. I mean, look at the number of abortions that we have on a daily basis. Look at all the senior citizens, not only here in the U.S., but around the world. These are the areas that will be eliminated. There won't be health care for them. When we see this Obamacare coming into effect, Obamacare is just a takeoff of what they have in England and other parts of the world. So, you know, it's not just happening here. It is happening around the world, and you will. Now, for the butlers and maids, you're going to have a younger generation doing that. They don't want to eliminate the younger generation. They just want to get rid of the useless eaters. You know, those that cannot produce.
Are you talking about me, Melody? Are you talking about senior citizens like myself? They want to get rid of me?
They want to get rid of us, Al. Of course, you're more senior than
I haven't had anything to eat yet today, Melody. How could you call me a useless eater? I'm not going to eat until after the program's over.
That's what our dear old Bob Chapman called useless eaters. Get rid of them.
No, that's... That was a term that was originally made famous by Henry Kissinger. He referred to all the useless eaters, meaning we've got a lot of people and they don't do anything other than eat.
Anything than eat.
Yeah.
What's their point?
Well, so who's going to feed them? And that's the point. You know, I mean, that's the big point on all of this. A tyranny ultimately supposes we're going to have a controlled economy. We're going to have someone tell us all what to do. It's going to be like the former Soviet Union. And how long did it last? The evil empire eventually blew up, self-imploded from the weight of its own, you know, irrational principles, and the tyranny will be the same thing. Once you get established, yeah, it'll be a difficult and dark era and the rest of that sort of thing, but it'll all fail. It always does, and then we go back to liberty, and eventually we go back to tyranny. I mean, part of the point to this cycle, why do we have this cycle, Melody? Assuming this is true, liberty to complacency, to dependence, to tyranny, to revolution, to liberty, and so on. Why do we have that cycle? And I wouldn't expect any... Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, what I'm just going to say, it's just graphic reproduction of the old idea that those who don't learn from history are destined to repeat it. That's why we have the cycle going from, we don't just go to liberty and stay there. If we had any brains, we'd stay there. No, no, no. You give us the first opportunity to get complacent, or somebody offers us a free lunch, and we're there. You put that free lunch out on the table, and boy, oh boy, we're going to be there right now. As soon as you produce that free lunch, and tomorrow we'll be back for the next one and the one after that. And pretty soon, if you don't put out a free lunch, we're going to get angry. Where's my free lunch? This is exactly why, from my perspective, we go from liberty to complacency to dependence to tyranny to revolution back to liberty. It's because we don't learn from history. Don't study, don't learn, just kick back and enjoy it as best we can. And inevitably, you know, therein lies the seeds of our own self-destruction. We won't learn. What else, Melody? Does that make any sense to you?
Well, yeah, but it happened. Is it actually created, or it just happens? I mean, this is a cycle, and it's going to repeat itself, just as you said.
Yeah, and it'll continue to repeat itself until people learn from history. And when you learn from history, you don't just learn about, gee, weren't they stupid over in the Soviet Union? How could they be that dumb?
Yeah, but one thing we do have...
D.C., who did you vote for in the last election, ladies and gentlemen? I guarantee you, you can't sit back and say that you people are much smarter than the folks who ran the Soviet Union. We get caught in this.
But are things a little different today, Al? Are things a little different today? Ken, is this why it seems to have gone on so much longer, because of our media, because of the control of the media, the way they can control people's lives?
And you're suggesting that thanks to the Internet, for example, we might be able to defeat a cycle like this. We might be able to reverse it.
Well, I think the Internet is just part of it. I mean, I think they got everybody, they grabbed everybody into the Internet. And yes, there's a small group of people who do benefit from the Internet. They do teach themselves. They do read. And they're able to pick the right from the wrong, and the lies and the truth. But most people can't understand, they read, they believe, and I believe the Internet was just created and given to the people in order to draw them in to have the same type of influence as what a television does.
No, I don't think so. I disagree, because the Internet as yet does not have a central control. It was designed not to have central. Well, I understand. It may evolve to that. I'm not saying that can't happen or won't happen.
TV wasn't.
But I'm saying so far there is a level of freedom on the Internet that is previously unmatched, and it's got to cause the government great concern. They've got to, if they had to choose between getting rid of the Internet and getting rid of the guns, which one do you think they'd go for, Melody? Which do you think poses a greater threat to the government, Internet or guns?
Well, I think they're using the Internet as their tool, and they're not ready to use it yet, but
well,
I think
trying.
It will.
They try to. Everybody tries to. I have a blog. I try to use the Internet as my tool. All right, I have a little blog, and some people read what I have on the blog and so on. Everybody's trying to use the Internet, but the Internet is not
controllable. Most people don't use the Internet like we do. And most people are on the Internet, buying things, shopping, gambling.
Speaking of which, here come the commercial announcements, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be right back. Please hang on.
Countries. have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. Write that number down. You give Melody a call in a little over 15 minutes, and she will be back chained to her chair there in the office at Discount Gold and Silver and taking your calls. You got to wait about 17 minutes or so, and then she'll be there. 1-800-375-4188. What now, Melody?
What? Murray what wrote now? In, but Carla is there if you'd like to give her a call. And if you want to do your orders now, please do so. Murray says, tyranny began when we were forced into a strong central government doctrine following the Second War of Independence.
Now, when he talks about the Second War of Independence. Now, is he talking about the Civil War? Is that the war he means by the Second War of Independence? Probably is. But Murray hasn't precisely specified, and I think that's what he means by that. But it's always the way this stuff goes. There's this tension always between some central government or central power and to regulate everybody and the individual who wants to be free from all regulation. I don't want to be regulated. But I think it might be necessary to regulate a bunch of you other folks, you know, that are driving too fast on the highways. Don't regulate me, but regulate you, if you catch my drift. It's human nature. You put people in positions of power, and they just naturally move toward being tyrants. They just think, I have enough power to deal with A, B, C, D, and E, and it is inevitable. That once they get up and they've got to that E limit on their power, they start looking over the fence and they say, yeah, but boy, if I could regulate F, G, and H, man, we could really get this thing running right because I'm so smart, I know how to regulate everybody else. And then you get to F, G, and H, and pretty soon you look over the fence, yeah, but what about I and J and K and L and M and so on? It is human nature to take more than we deserve. It is human nature to believe we're smarter than we really are and that we should have control over other people. And it's unfortunate, but we almost never know when to quit. No amount of power is ever enough. You get some power, you want more. You get more, you want even more. And it seems to be, and it is part of the human condition, it's part of our genetics, it's part of our biology, it's part of our culture. Doesn't seem that we're going to get rid of it exactly, but if we can't deal with it, recognize it, and understand there are limits, and the limits are rational and sensible. And people will say, oh my gosh, but 20 kids got killed at Sandy Hook Elementary School. Yeah, but we can't use that as an excuse to extend reasonable and rational limits on government power. And that's how, and nevertheless, a large percentage of the population, oh my gosh, 20 kids died. Yeah, 20 kids died. It's unfortunate. It's a tragedy. It's sad. But it is not sufficient reason to expand the limits on government power. It is not sufficient reason to reduce the public's rights. And the government says, oh, yes, it is. Why? Because the government wants to protect you and me, or because the government wants more power? And the answer is they don't care if the kids died. They don't care if they lived. They are irrelevant. They want more power. The children who died in the elementary school, the government grabs a hold of that as an excuse to seize more power. That's all. And that pushes us toward the tyranny on this tyranny-liberty cycle we've talked about for much of the program. What else we got, Melody?
We got some questions coming in. This is in from Richard. He says, who's buying all the stocks, 401k managers, insurance companies, etc.? When bond and stock markets crash, they will run to gold because of fear. Who would hold a bond that is defaulted upon? Insurance companies, pension funds will be clobbered. Do you agree?
Yeah, I more or less agree, but I'll tell you one thing. The Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, and I'm trying to think of the man, I can't think of his name right off the top of my head, that first discovered these, and I wrote an article about it back about 1992, Walter Burian. He was the first one to stumble into this. There are something called the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. It is required for every governmental entity in the country. It's required for states and counties and cities, and I think they use a different name, but even for the federal government. We get a budget every year, and the budget says, oh, we think we're going to have this much revenue coming in, and we're going to have this much expenditures, and therefore we're either going to come up short, or we're going to have a surplus or whatever. That's the budget. But all the budget is a projection of what we think is going to happen over the course of the next year, or what government says they think is going to happen over the course of the next year. But what Walter Burian did, he discovered there's a comprehensive annual financial report that's kept by states and cities, counties, all the school districts, sewage districts, water districts, every one of them. This is a report after the year is over that tells us how much money actually did come in the form of revenue to that district, city, county, state, federal government. How much did they actually make? And then how much did they actually spend? It's the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report that tells us what's really going on. Walter Burian discovered that in the Comprehensive Annual Financial Reports, billions of dollars of revenue are being concealed. And according to Burian, most of that money was being invested in the stock markets. It's Burian's contention, and he may have increased, but the last time I heard, he guesstimated, and Burian's an intelligent guy. He worked in the commodities market for a number of years. It was his guesstimate that half the stocks that are publicly traded in the United States today are owned by governmental agencies. And when these agencies work in concert, they can make an individual stock go up or down. They can make an industry go up or down. They can make the whole stock market go up or down within limits. Right? They can't absolutely control, but they have enormous influence. So the question you asked is, who's buying all these stocks? Well, it may be these governmental entities that are investing in the stock market. It may be they're the ones that are holding the market together. If Burian is correct in his information, he's made this argument now for over 20 years. You know, we're pushing what? About 20 years now that I've been aware of Walter Burian and his argument. Nothing, I haven't seen anything to refute his conclusions. High probability is correct. So who's buying the stocks? Maybe it's the government. And there is a kind of irony. and even cause for amusement if the government, in order to hold the Dow Jones up, hold the other markets up, has the government, is they the ones that are buying the stock in the same way that the Federal Reserve is buying bonds issued by the government? Because if that's true, and if the stuff really hits the fan, then guess who's going to suffer an enormous loss? The government. Not just the private people, the government. Ah, this is the sort of thing I look at this as a boy, this puts a smile on my face. Oh boy, oh boy. Maybe the government is going to be hoisted by its own petard before it's all over. They had to have so much control. When it finally blows up in their face, it may ruin them. And that might be a good thing for this country. What else, Melody?
We also have a question in from Robert, and he talks about insurance. He says they received a notification that their medical insurance is going up. That's, I think he meant per quarter. It'll be going up over $2,000 per quarter starting April 1st. He says about an increase of over 13%. He says he's wishing for the day that they turn 65 so that they can qualify for some type of government-supported program that even includes dental and vision. He has 27 months to go, and his wife has four years and 8 months. No wonder about 50 million people in this country has no medical insurance. And I'm with you. My health insurance also went up. And
But how is that possible? Uh-huh. Obamacare is going to reduce the cost of medical care. It was originally presented as free universal health care, and now it turns out that it's not free, and it even turns out it's more expensive than what you had in the past, plus it's going to be rationed. You know, you've got two people, the man and wife, that are referenced in the email you've got here. They're longing for the day when Social Security will take care of them. They're longing for a day when health care will allegedly be rationed, according to some sources. I haven't studied the Obamacare plan, 2,800 pages. I don't know that I will live long enough to read all of those pages. But it's reported that they are going to ration it to the rate of about $5,000 per person. You get over 65, and guess what? You may find out it's not just government is supplying health care, government is restricting health care. You may not be able to get enough health care to keep you alive after you turn 65. We've seen reports where after 75, government will no longer treat cancer. If you're over 75, their protocol is they will simply try to provide you with comfortable circumstances. And meaning, we will drug you until you die. You won't feel the pain, you won't feel the rest of it, but we ain't going to waste any time and money trying to fix you old-timers. Sure, you may have made a contribution to this country throughout your 60 years when you worked in this country, 50, 60 years, yeah. But we've got illegal aliens we've got to provide for. And that means people over 75, we may just have to write them off. We'll provide a little comfort, give you a little morphine or whatever it takes to keep you good, doped up to where you don't feel any pain. Then when you die, fine. But we're not going to spend money on you. So I'm just saying that the people who produced that email, sent that question in to you, beware of what you wish for. You may discover that government health care after age 65 is not all you hoped it would be. So,
and also, Al, you can look at it. That's exactly where they put people. You know, they raise the prices, and it isn't the cost of what's it. There's just so much fraud involved in this healthcare system. They'll never clean it up. The healthcare system is just about as corrupt as government is.
I understand.
There's so much fraud, and until they fix that problem, you know, the prices are going to continue to rise. But it's one way to get people off these insurance companies' policies and off their books and into the government, because we do have a large aging population, and these insurance companies won't be able to handle it. So let's get them on the government insurance, restrict the care, let them die. The insurance companies live to survive another day. It's another group of too big to fail.
Yep. Yeah, it's not something. They are not providing health care to take care of the American people. They're providing a program that is going to enhance the powers of government and enhance the wealth, ultimately, of insurance companies, but it's not going to do the American people any spectacular. It will not provide them with some spectacular blessing. And in fact, we may be diminished our ability to secure health care. Now, they're going to argue, look, we're providing health care for people that are too poor to afford it. I get that. I understand that. But they are also restricting health care for those who may have earned the right to receive it by the contribution they've made over 50 years of working in this country. They may even have enough money of their own, or they're entitled to receive sufficient health care to keep them alive, even if it costs $500,000 or $1 million for a procedure. Some people have the money for it. I'm not sure they'll be able to spend it. There'll be a black market for health care. Or perhaps if you want health care, you're going to have to fly down to Cuba or Uruguay or some foreign country in order to get adequate health care. The whole thing is insane.
So then here's another thing. If anybody does have any money, they're going to have to eliminate the older people because their children can't take care of themselves or their grandchildren.
And why can't they? Why can't they take care of themselves? And one of the answers is because government, in its infant wisdom, has raised taxes so high that you can barely support yourself anymore.
Yep.
I've argued this a number of times on the program. When I was a kid, my dad's total tax burden, state, local, and federal, was about 15% of his gross income. He got to keep 85 cents out of every dollar he earned, and that's why my mother could stay home and raise me and my sister. Today, young man is paying 55, 60% of his gross income is going into federal, state, local, and hidden taxes. It's the reason why one man can't support a family anymore. Wives have to work, all right? And people are broke. Why? Because we are supporting a government that cannot recognize the limits in limited power. And we are going broke. We're having the problem because the American people don't recognize their responsibility to enforce the limits on the limited powers that are granted by government. And as long as that continues, we're just going to go deeper and deeper into poverty until the whole thing explodes. We're out of time, Melody. Down to our last 10 seconds. So I'm going to say bye-bye, folks. So thank you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.